You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Ben Trefney, in for Hana Baba. By now, over 4 months into the shelter in place, you've probably swapped COVID testing stories. Or maybe you've been on a Zoom call with questions like, how did you get an appointment? Did it hurt? And how long to get the results? I've definitely had those conversations. Experiences are all over the place. And to add to the confusion, Governor Gavin Newsom has announced new testing guidelines as cases continue to rise in California and labs are becoming backlogged. Some testing sites report waits as long as 14 days for results, which is exactly the amount of time you're supposed to quarantine. The new rules are intended to smooth that out and ensure the most vulnerable get tested first. KALW's health reporter Angela Johnston explains more.
My partner tested positive for COVID. Once I heard, I set up a testing appointment right away. So did our housemates, his coworkers, and a group of friends we saw from a distance at the park. Everyone booked a slot pretty quickly. But that's where our experiences diverged. I drove to UCSF, waited in line in my car, and braced myself for an uncomfortable swab. It was the nasopharyngeal type, meaning it went way up there, tickling my brain and making my eyes water. And I got the results so quickly, like within 6 hours. I was shocked and also relieved. It was negative. But then I talked to my friend Caro de Freitas, whose experience was totally different.
It was a very kind of cursory swab on the inside of, like a very shallow swab on the inside of both nostrils and move it, and we just moved along.
No uncomfortable nose test? Turns out this less invasive type of swab is actually common now. More recently, I heard another testing story from Chris Agusta, a producer here at KALW.
So the closest place for me to get a test was a CVS, and they had a drive-through, and the test was self-administered.
Meaning a nurse handed him a test kit and watched Chris do it.
She kind of like mimed how to do it and how far to put the swab up your nose and all of that. And I just kind of stuck it up as far as I thought it should go. And she just kind of nodded and was like, yeah, that looks good. And I was like, okay.
He still hasn't gotten his results back, by the way. It's been over a week and a half. Yes, Chris lives in a different county than me, but with all these different testing experiences, I wondered, is Chris's self-inflicted test as accurate as mine or my friend's, whose swab went only halfway up her nose?
The answer to that is that the Food and Drug Administration, the FDA and CDC, have said that multiple specimen types are acceptable. And that wasn't the case at the beginning of the pandemic. And really, things have evolved over time.
That's Dr. Susan Phillip, a deputy health officer with the San Francisco Department of Public Health, who says, we're learning as we go. It's the novel coronavirus, after all. She points to new research that shows all different types of swabs produce pretty much the same result. And not only is one at the surface of your nostril more comfortable, it's also easier to administer. You don't need a registered nurse to do it.
And also, those are FDA approved to be done by the patient themselves, by the person themselves, with a clinician watching.
While most sites are switching over to less invasive swabs, what type of test you get depends on where you go. So does the wait time for an appointment and results. There are many different organizations running the testing sites. In San Francisco, there's your doctor's office or an urgent care center. Then there's several free city-run sites. Some are operated by a company called Color. Not to mention state-sponsored sites run by different companies as well. You could even go to a CVS like Chris. But here's the big difference. If you get a test at a big hospital like UCSF, they send tests to their own labs, so chances are you'll get your results pretty quickly. But if you go to one of the city or state test sites right now, you'll run into some delays.
Across the country and across the state, and also unfortunately here in San Francisco, the time that it takes to wait to get in to get a test has been increasing. And then because of the very high numbers of tests that are being processed by all the laboratories, the turnaround time or the time from getting the test to getting your results has also increased.
Not great for containing the virus, because the longer you have to wait for your result, the more people you may infect. And cases in the Bay Area continue to rise, and cities have ramped up testing. But the spike is being felt all across the state. California saw 11,000 new cases on Monday, and according to the San Francisco Chronicle, the average number of daily cases in July has doubled compared to last month. So that's leading to more testing, and a lot of those tests are getting bottlenecked at these two big labs, Quest Diagnostics, and LabCorp. And by the way, they just warned, wait until flu season. Keeping up with demand will be even more difficult.
So, you know, there are some things that we can work on and try to improve, and some things that they're larger than just the city and county of San Francisco. They're statewide, they're nationwide.
So last week, the governor announced a set of non-mandatory testing guidelines with a tier system. The first group with the biggest priority is people in the hospital and people who have been in contact with people who have COVID-19. Then comes everyone else who has symptoms or those who live and work in congregate living facilities. Tier 3 is essential public-facing workers. And then there's the lowest rung, people who are asymptomatic but want to see if they have it or not. Anecdotally, I've heard of a lot of people doing this, getting a test to confirm they can go visit their parents or rent a cabin with another bubble of friends. Under these new guidelines, you shouldn't be able to get tested for this reason until the backlog is all sorted out and the state's testing turnaround time is less than 48 hours.
We have also added into the second tier really a piece to think about structural health inequality and the neighborhoods and the communities that have been most impacted by COVID and have always been most impacted by health challenges.
San Francisco just opened up a new testing center in Potrero Hill for that reason. Other Bay Area counties are making a similar move, adding underserved communities into the tier system. In San Mateo County, their city manager tells me they spend thousands of dollars every other day moving their one community site around so people from Pescadero to East Palo Alto can be close to a test. In Alameda County, half of the community sites are in Oakland. Here's Dr. Jocelyn Freeman Garrick, the head of Alameda County's COVID testing team.
We did intentionally put sites in our vulnerable communities where we were seeing higher numbers.
She's on board for shorter wait times, getting results back to people faster, and bringing sites to neighborhoods and workers that need them most. But Dr. Garrick says removing other barriers are just as important.
Are we giving them the information in a way that is relatable in their language or in layman's terms that they understand? And have we dispelled all the mistrusts about the test? We still have all these barriers that we have to navigate to make testing equitable.
For instance, state sites run by Verily require you to have a Gmail address to sign up for a spot. Other operators' signups are even more confusing. The testing site at SF City College requires you register through a company called LHI Care. It was so confusing and clunky that when I was looking for a testing site, I gave up on LHI after the first 10 minutes. All health officers I spoke to said they're working on coming up with more strategies to make it easier to get tested, like moving sites directly to hotspot areas, outside large apartment buildings, or nursing homes.
And they may not be able to hop up and walk over to a testing site. And how can we deploy individuals to bring testing to them?
There's also talk of doing something called pool testing and running, say, 10 swabs together on one test. If it comes back negative, the 10 are good to go. If it's positive, only then do you need to test individually. In the meantime, health officers say testing is only one part of the picture, and it doesn't make up for tried and true prevention methods, like wearing a mask and social distancing. In San Francisco, I'm Angela Johnston for Cross Currents.
Angela is KALW's health reporter. You could find more of her stories online at kalw.org.